In the sixth chapter of Galatians, beginning at verse 7, there are three verses there that I'd like to read and share with you. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on the reading of your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God has seasons. Let me prove that from his creation. We experience seasons.
Yes.
And you know one of the damaging things that's happening as a result of these ecological problems that we're facing, such as the one in the Middle East right now, they think Hussein yesterday and the last couple of days has ignited or bombed oil deposits. And the danger is not in the loss of the oil, but it's in the smoke that's arising. Because some environmentalists think that if it would continue or if it would become more pronounced, that smoke that continues to rise, that we already have problems in what's called the ozone layer, and that it will actually affect our seasons. And that people will suffer a late season for planting, and it will actually throw out of schedule the seasons of the earth. And I don't know how it is with you, and I may be totally wrong, but it seems like we're already experiencing some of that. Can you hardly remember? It's been 4 or 5 years since we had any kind of a definite winter, as we know winter. And even this year thus far, unless something would happen from this point on, it's been a very different weather than we would ordinarily experience through these years. And yet I was at Jim's, when was it, last year or the year before? And in October we got that big snow and the temperature dropped so low and the electricity went out all through the Miami Valley here for quite a ways. And it just seems that you can't hardly predict what's going to happen. And I guess this, I imagine that this makes the weatherman really wonder as to what's going to happen. I got to kid them down at London. I never will forget, I'm on the radio, it used to be every Sunday at 8:30, and one Sunday the fellow was giving the weather report, I think a 3% chance of rain, and it was pouring. It rained, I mean, the awfulest rain that you was ever in. And then on the other hand, they will just take the opposite and make a prediction there to where they don't know hardly how to call the shots as far as seasons are concerned. But the creation was developed with certain seasons involved. And it's important for us because in those seasons, it's a frame of time work, a framework of time.
Yeah.
Where we're to do certain things. For instance, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in that third chapter, it begins by saying to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Time to weep, and a time to laugh. Time to mourn, and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, and a time to lose. Time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? That last verse actually showing the harmony or the effect or the importance of these seasons that we experience here. But there's a season for everything. And if we can learn the secret of knowing that that's true, and then know something about what God wants and how God is working, then we can actually profit from that. We've had two great revivals at London in the years that I was there, two extraordinary revivals. Had a lot of good meetings. Brother Collins gave us a good meeting several years ago. We've had different ones. We had a brother come from Middletown on an occasion, and he came and he did some exceptional preaching. In the first 2 weeks, it was just great. And then after 2 weeks, he just decided that he wanted to leave. And I think the weather got a little inclement. I can't remember on the first revival. And don't you know, the night he left, revival broke out. And for the next 5 weeks, we had constant revival. In one night of the service, we had people coming from nominal churches just come in and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the back of the church. We had 23 received in one day. And just an outpouring of the Spirit of God, Brother Stanton, just a move of God. And after this brother left, we got Brother Harmon. And he preached a couple of weeks. And then Troy Boggs lived at London. We got Troy for a couple of weeks. Assembly of God man there, and he preached. And then by the seventh week, we'd had so many saved that some young men that got saved at the first of the meeting were received the Holy Ghost and were called to preach, and they preached the last week. Glory. One of them's pastoring at London, one's pastoring over at Oregonia, a Church of God over here near Cache, somewhere back over in that area. Floyd Robinson's boy, Orville Robinson. And so God said, it just seemed like this. And do you know what happened? That man came back a few years later, same fellow from Middletown. He always brought good revivals. And it snowed on Friday, and he said, there's news going on, big, deep snow on the ground. Said, we might as well close the meet now. So Saturday morning, said, I'm going home. Said, we'll just call it off. He left on a Saturday to come back home, and revival broke out again. We went 4 weeks that time, and 84 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 4 weeks. Around 50 got saved. A number of things happened, extraordinary things. During the course of one of these revivals, a flu epidemic hit, and they closed the schools all throughout the county and different things of that type, and yet God kept us, and we kept going to church every night. And to my knowledge, the crowd stayed large every night. Just God, just blessing. When there is a move of God, you need to take advantage of a move of God. Because the Lord sometimes moves in seasonal situations like this, and when God's moving, we need to take advantage of the moving of the Lord and be responsive. I know this analogy doesn't necessarily fit, but in the fifth chapter of Matthew, the man that had been laid there at Solomon's pool for 38 years, the Bible said, waited for the troubling of the waters. And then each year the angel would come and trouble the waters, and those that were sick would get down into the waters, and they'd experience their healing then.
Yes.
And so this man that was not able to get into the water, and Jesus, as you remember the story, healed this man after 38 years of perhaps laying there by the pool. But the point I want to make is the idea of the season that's involved. Now, I want to tell you something else concerning seasons before I get into the substance of what's here. There is a verse in the first chapter of Acts that to me is most interesting, because in the sixth verse it said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now God knows, and God has his own calendar that does not necessarily always coincide with our calendar. I try to get him to work by my calendar oftentimes and say, now God, it's time to do this. But I found through the years that he doesn't always work when I think he ought to, or when I try to pin him down or try to impress him that now is the time, because God does it in his own way. in His own time, in His, because after all, He's God. And who are we to demand of Him when He has all these things, these seasons and these times in His own power, His own season? And we need to understand that the Lord is showing us the importance of this time. And seasons, one other point I want to make, and it's this, oftentimes God withholds Himself to where we do not experience what the Lord really wants us to experience. And then when we begin to miss it, then we begin to pray that God once again will become involved, and God will get involved in a situation, and then in the season, God will move by His own power. There are two verses in Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It said, although the fig tree shall not blossom. It's the natural thing for the fig tree to blossom. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. It's the natural thing for the grape to grow seasonally. The labor of the olive shall fail. There'll be no olives produced. And the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You remember the incident when Jesus was going from Bethany up to Jerusalem. As He went up there, a fig tree caught His attention. And He went over to this fig tree, and the fig tree had leaves, but it had no figs. And the Bible said that Jesus cursed that tree and said, from henceforth, you'll not bring forth any fruit. And from that time, that tree died. Here was a tree that was to produce in its season, and yet was not producing. And the only alternative that the Lord had was to curse that tree. And the Bible said that the tree died from that time, from its very roots. Now, I know that that was a type of Israel. If I understand it correctly, what He was doing in the cursing of the fig tree was showing how Israel was, because Israel made a great show of being a religious nation. We have Abraham to our father, they were saying. And yet Jesus was pointing out that even though they made these very broad professions, that they really weren't bringing forth any fruit. And the day that He cursed the fig tree, in all practicality, He went on to Jerusalem, and it was then that He cleansed the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And He said, it's written that my house should be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves, of robbers. And Jesus cursed Israel at that particular time. And we know from personal experience, from the curse that He put upon Israel until the time when they said, let His blood be upon our hands, that they have lived under the curse of rejecting Jesus Christ and of what Jesus spoke to them at that point in time. And even not now, they're under the throes of that curse. I know that they're God's chosen people and that they are truly the seed of Abraham. And I know there's a lot of prophetic significance associated with Israel. But Israel rejected Jesus Christ. And Israel will suffer for it. And Israel has been and will continue to be judged. And under the tribulation, they're going to suffer tremendous and severe judgment at the hands of God, because it's referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob will be judged during the tribulation, and they will experience untold judgment and wrath. They're the people that are experiencing in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation that they'll cry for rocks and mountains to fall upon them to hide them from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. All the inhabitants of the earth and Israel will be right there with them. And as they're there to hide them from the wrath of Him that sitteth upon the throne, for the great day of His wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? And these people, we must understand, are living under the judgment. And as He pronounced that curse, they brought forth no fruit. They did not produce in the time of their season. And did you know our lives are largely like that? The Bible said in the 9th verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. For many years, from an evangelistic point of view, I use these verses, and I intend to do that tonight, but I want to tell you that there's a double prong to the three verses in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. The one is an encouragement to the children of God.
Yeah.
He's saying positively, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll from the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Yeah.
Capital S, sowing to the Spirit of the living God. And allowing the Spirit to have the influence and the direction and a power and control over your life.
Yes.
But if you will sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But when you're sowing to the Spirit like that, oftentimes you get discouraged.
Yes.
As you go along, because it seems like in reaping, we reap slowly sometimes. Of course, it's all according to what you sow as to how quickly you reap. And it's all according to if you sow it in the time. And if you'll sow it during the correct season. And then if you have all of the things of nature falling into play at the opportune time with you. But I want to tell you, God wants us to sow to the Spirit. That's the positive aspect of this. Sowing to the Spirit. And we do that every day. Every day. I put out our missionary mailing today at home and got to work it up. What is today? Tuesday or Wednesday? What day of the week is it? Okay. Got to work it up partially yesterday and Monday evening, I guess. Monday evening part of it, and then finished it up yesterday. And today I took it to the post office, and I had two trays of letters. And just as I got to the door, I had no way opening the door. And a lady came out just about the time that I got to the door, and she walked away, and then she saw me, and she came back, and especially it was a double effort on her part, really and truly, because she opened the door, and I went through, and it's a double door deal. The poor thing not only had to open one door, but she had to step into this little inner place here and open another door. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm going to count this for your good deed today." She said, "Well, a person ought to do a good deed every day," and said, "This, I'll just count this for mine today, too." In life, particularly the life of the Christian, we get the opportunity to sow good seeds. And we sow to the Spirit. You sow out of love and out of concern, and you sow good deeds. We used to sing the song, and perhaps you still sing it here, "Each day I'll do a golden deed. I'll help someone who is in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go." And as we go through life, we get the opportunity to sow seeds, some good seeds, seeds to the Spirit. I think when people get involved in revival, they're sowing good seeds. When they pray for others, they're sowing good seeds. Ethel told me of a young brother that we're acquainted with that's on a fast right now. And will be fasting through at least until tomorrow, and has been fasting for some several days. That's sowing good seeds.
Right.
The reading of God's Word is sowing good seeds. Testifying to the lost is sowing good seeds. Sharing the good news is sowing good seeds.
Right.
Spreading the gospel through your materials and through your offerings is sowing good seeds.
Right.
Being responsive to the pastor and the teaching of God's Word is sowing good seeds. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is sowing a good seed. Entering into the service, whether it be by prayer, or whether it be singing, or whether it be in some other mode of worship before God, is sowing good seeds. And as you sow seeds to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap those seeds. You'll reap benefits and blessings from those things. So don't get discouraged. Don't be down and out. And don't give up. Some of you have been sowing seeds for years in front of unsaved people. Keep up the good work.
Right.
Keep going on. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. If you'll continue on and on and on. They tell me, I had heard it said some years ago, Glenn Mead, did you know him, Brother Thomas? Glenn Mead was about 6'7" or 6'8", big tall guy. I was preaching for Brother Ely years ago up at Cumberland. I think Ely was there then. And And we were having a preacher's meeting, and Glenn Mead was sitting next to me there on the platform. And I'd never met him until that time. And they got us up, each of us, to stand up and testify. And I was just sitting there short as I am, and all at once he got up, and he kept getting up. I never saw such getting up in my life. He just got up and up, and I looked up, and he was the tallest man I ever looked at nearly, Glenn Mead. And Glenn had a brother by the name of Cletus Mead. And they said Cletus Mead went to Glen Allen, West Virginia, to preach a revival. And as he started preaching that revival, the first week as he preached, he had 9 women to preach to. So all week long, he preached night after night to 9 women. He thought the Lord wanted him to go on again, so he went the second week. And he went the third, and he went the fourth. He went 9 weeks. He continued preaching for 9 weeks to 9 women. That's the reason I remember it so well. In the 10th week, revival broke out. And in the 10th week, they had 100 people give their heart to Jesus Christ, and revival came. But it was that continued sowing, just that kept on sowing for the glory of God. I've known of churches, and I know of a church in West Virginia that's an Assembly of God church, and that dropped down to nothing. They went for years with just a handful of people in that church. One Sunday morning, they went to the church, and a message in tongues and interpretation came. And in this interpretation, the Holy Ghost said, I have seen your faithfulness, and from this day I will pour out revival upon you. When they came back on Sunday night, the church building was filled. They didn't even have a pastor and hadn't had a pastor, I think, in 13 years. And God began to move by the Holy Ghost. And when they made the altar call in the church that night, they lined up 3 deep in the church. People began to get saved. The last I heard, they had a pastor and was able to support him and was running 130 in Sunday school. And God had done this because people were faithful and they kept sowing seed. Kept sowing seed. They were faithful to God. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if you faint not. The word faint here literally means to pass out, to give up, to expire, as it were. And so many people quit right on the threshold of what God wants to do. So let me encourage you by saying to you tonight, be not weary in well-doing. As you're sowing these seeds to the Spirit, and spiritual seeds, they'll come back to you. Brother Sullivan used to tell us that if you would cast your bread on the water, that it would come back with butter and lashes on it later on. It would return after many days. And if you sow those kind of seeds, they'll start coming back to you. I've seen parents that got concerned about other people's children and begin to pray for them that they would get saved. And in company with that, God would begin to deal with their children. And their children were brought and their children were saved by the grace of God. You reap what you sow. So sow good seeds and just wait on the reaping. Just wait on the reaping and be not weary. Don't get tired and discouraged and down and out. Some people give up too quickly. Oh, too quickly. And then someone else comes along and reaps the fruit of their work and their labor because they weren't willing to continue faithful before the Lord. Now, the evangelistic aspect of this is the opposite pole. It's an encouragement for those of us, and I think that's the thrust of what the apostle said. Don't be weary, for you're going to reap these good things as you sow things, seeds to the Spirit. But think of that man and woman in sin, that boy and girl that's sowing seeds of sin. For you see, the Scripture said in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let me tell you something about these seasons. You reap in season. Sinners are often foiled and fooled by the fact that they sow sin and they don't reap it too quick. There's a lot has gone on in the church. I want to tell you. There's a lot that's gone on in the church before. And men sinned and women sinned. and they got away with it, they thought. And they kept that sin, and they thought that that was covered, or that it would never be uncovered, or there'd never be any judgment concerning it. And as a result, they thought that seed was sown, but that there would be no reaping. But I want to tell you, in due season, men reap. And I don't know how true this is logistically. It's just been some experiences that I have had. But I've seen people go for as many as 7 years and never reap.
Yeah.
Just keep sowing seeds of sin. And then maybe even longer than that, longer and shorter. But I've seen them go that way before. We were, Ethel and I were involved in a situation some several years ago of trying to keep a person from falling into sin. I'll tell you what's the truth. I was so burdened about it. We went to this home where this person was, and I got down on my knees and I begged them. I begged them with tears in my eyes not to go a step further. Ethel went on a fast and fasted 11 days. In trying to get this person on the right track to open their eyes. Seemed like everything was to no avail. We fasted, we prayed, we instructed, we counseled, we warned, and it didn't do a bit of good. And it seemed at first like everything. No different. That they could do their own thing and get by with it. And a year went by, and two, and three, and four, and five, and six, and I think seven, whatever the length of time, whatever the span of time was, God brought judgment just as certainly as I'm in this pulpit tonight. Not because God doesn't love people, but because we reap what we sow. Everybody, whether it's me in the pulpit or you in the pew, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the flesh, to sin, to a wickedness, to rebellion, the seeds of rebellion spring up and they come back home to that person who sows those kind of seeds. There's an inalterable law in this universe, the law of sowing and reaping. And when a person sows, they're going to reap. There's no way around it. There's no way out of it. That if a person sows a seed, they're going to reap that seed. And that's the reason the Lord is trying to impress upon us through His Word and through this letter to the Galatians that if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap those blessed things of the Spirit. But if we sow to the flesh, we'll love the flesh. Reap corruption. There's people reaping. Why, you've had it right here in Hamilton. Been in the office reaping.
That's right.
Right here in this situation here. Some of you, I could describe situations, and not even the one with which you were directly or closely in tune with or knew about, but I could give you example after example in this Miami Valley of the sowing of sin. And it looked like for a while that the season was such that there would be no reaping, but it always comes back. The pigeons always come home to roost. Yeah, they come back. And as we sow to the wind, we reap the whirlwind oftentimes. And so whatever is sown, when people say, that's the reason I'm for young people getting saved early in their lives. Get saved before they ever start sowing these seeds of sin, because they're going to reap those seeds. Sow to the Spirit and life everlasting, and sow these seeds that God wants sown while an individual is young. And they've got their life out in front of them. It makes all the difference in the world. And these seasons, there's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping. And you know what sinners ordinarily think? They think only of sowing. They even use this expression, I'm going to sow my wild oats now. But they must remember there's a season for sowing and there's a season for reaping.
That's right.
Oh, and it's a tragic thing when people start reaping the life of sin that they have sown. Oh, it looks good at the first. Young people particularly are blinded by this in their youth and in their sin sometimes, going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, peer pressure such that it pulls them in a certain direction and they succumb or fall prey to it. And as a result of doing that, they just continue sowing, never realizing that they're going to reap every seed that they have sown. Oh, and I want to reap good seed, don't you? And I want people that I go to church with and that I can wield any influence over to sow the right kind of seeds, to not to sow those seeds of evil and ungodliness and rebellion and unrighteousness and sin and wickedness, because when they sow that way, they're going to reap just exactly that. If we could get young people to see it, it would save them a life of heartache and a burdens and load that they're going to be called upon to carry it. And yet, they seem like can't get their eyes open. I was preaching up here at Dayton last year when we were going around, Marty and I, making up some money for the Bibles. And I'll not soon forget in this service on this particular night, just seemed that the Lord moved in a special way. And then someone afterwards suggested that the church come up and pray, have prayer for one another. And so there weren't too many in the church service that night, so all of them gathered up in the front. And then the Lord began to touch hearts. And the thing that was closest to different people's hearts, they would just blurt it right out and they would request prayer. And I never had such a shock in my life. A very precious woman in that church there, and it was obvious that she was one of the faithful members of the church. And as the Spirit began to move all at once, she semi-screamed. And she said, "Please pray for my boy. Please pray for my boy. He has AIDS." And her boy was a steward on a national airline here in the United States, and just some time ago, on the life of sin that he was living and the homosexual route that he was taking, he had involved himself and contracted AIDS. And that boy is dying by day and by the week even now. And that mother's heart was broken because of this life of sin. You see, you cannot sow sin but what you reap sin. You can't sow ungodliness but what you reap ungodliness. And did you ever notice this? If you sow rebellion, you reap rebellion. Whatever you sow, you don't sow one thing and reap something else. You reap what you sow. Specifically and exactly is what you reap. You don't sow potatoes and reap tomatoes. You reap exactly. And let me put it just one step further. You not only reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow.
More.
That's the law of sowing and reaping. It's the law of reproduction. If you sow one, you may reap two. You may reap 10. You may reap 100. You can put 2 or 3 little grains of corn in the ground. And with the elements right and with the season right, when that stalk comes up, it may have an ear with a 500 grains on it. It may have 2 ears or 3. It may have 1,000 grains on one ear. You can never count, because the law of sowing and reaping teaches us that we will reap more than what we sow. And always, if we could only keep this in mind, that we don't get back just what we gave in terms of our lives or concern, but we reap so much more. That's true spiritually too. That's the blessing in spiritual life and sowing to the Spirit. And that's the tragedy in sowing to sin, is because you reap more in the seasons. You know, I thought in continuing this week that the season was so right. Like last Saturday night, I so felt so strongly, and I know Cash did and others of us did. There's a brother in the church, a man in the church that night, I felt so strongly, needs to get saved. So concerned and so interested. And there have been others during the course of this meeting that I'm sure that God has spoken to. And some young people that have never really got down on the rock and gotten saved. And you've been here many, many nights in these 4 weeks of this revival, and yet God has spoken to your heart and you've never really responded to Him. For the Lord's sake, give your heart to God. Don't live in a way to where you'll continue sowing seeds that you're going to reap. But give your heart to God, where the seeds that you sow will be seeds of life everlasting and will be a blessing to you. You'll be glad you did. You certainly will. Let's bow our heads. I wonder if in the service tonight, if there's anyone, a young person or older, you're not saved or you're a backslider. You just lift your hand and say, "Brother Gene, I need prayer. I'm not a Christian. I've not gotten saved. But I really, truly need to be saved. I need to know the Lord." You just slip your hand up and say, "Remember me in prayer." Is there one at all? And I promise you, we'll pray for you. And we'll call every time we think about you, we'll ask God to do something in your life. Is there one at all? Lord, been dealing with you during the course. God bless you, son. I appreciate that. Fine young man. Is there another that you just lift your hand and say, pray for me. I feel my spiritual need. And I want God to do something in my life. Is there another? Quickly, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I commit the congregation to you. I thank you for the law you've put into effect. And I thank you for the truth you've given us concerning it, and for the strength that you give us and enable us to sow seeds to the Spirit. And one lifted his hand tonight, Lord, that he really desperately needs something from you personally. Oh, God, draw him tonight. Show him the importance of just taking a step in faith and leaving his seat and coming down here and kneeling and inviting you in his heart. And then save him from the uttermost, Lord. For I know you died at Calvary to prove how very much you love him. Bless and touch our hearts with the truth of what we've heard from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you got a song in mind, Sister Thomas or Tim, either one, something that you have in mind. Let me ask you tonight, if you're in service and just feel like you'd like to come down, it'd be a great delight to me and a lot of these other brothers and sisters if you would come and kneel and give us the opportunity to pray with you for in this service tonight. Will you come in Jesus' name? Amen.